Welcome to the Startup of the Year podcast, where each episode we showcase exciting new companies from around the world. This podcast is produced by Established, creators of the Startup of the Year program. Established is focused on helping organizations with their innovation, startup, and communication strategies.
Welcome back to the Startup of the Year podcast. I'm Frank Gruber, the co-founder and co-CEO of Established, co-founder of Established Ventures, and the team behind the Startup of the Year community and this very podcast. Thanks so much for being here. On this episode of the Startup of the Year podcast, we're going to hear an interview with Arlen Hamilton. It took place at the Established House at South by Southwest in Austin, Texas, just a few weeks ago. Arlen is the founder and managing partner of Backstage Capital and the author of a new book, Your First Million. She's also, you know, had the ability to actually invest in a number of companies, I think close to 200, if not more. And a lot of those are led by underrepresented or underestimated founders. So she's raised a fund from scratch and did it while homeless is when she started it. So pretty impressive background. She's also the author of another book called It's About Damn Time, and also hosts a podcast called Your First Million. And so we're going to hear more from her in a second. It's really interesting what she's doing and the movement she's made, and she'll share more about that shortly. I also wanted to quickly, before we jump into that interview, share a little bit more about the Established House at South by Southwest. If you didn't get a chance to hear about it yet, it was a great day of events. We're going to be sharing more details of those events soon. We're going to be putting out some of those interviews and discussions like this one out on our podcast. But we had, you know, over 1,000 people come through, a day full of different types of events. We hosted an ESO meetup. We had a whole discussion about ecosystem building presented by Ecomap Technologies. And we also hosted a quick pitch, which is very in line with the Startup of the Year. And we had 10 early stage companies participate. And the winner was fast-tracked to the Startup of the Year Summit, which is going to be happening in the fall. And we wanted to announce the winner here today because I don't think we ever got a chance to on the podcast. So a little drum roll. We've got Applied Bioplastics from Austin, Texas. They actually won the pitch. They did a fantastic job. They're basically manufacturing bioplastics from plant-based materials, and the use would be for retail, packaging, medical, you know, industries, and obviously helping with plastic recycling. So very exciting stuff as we all think about all the waste we produce in the world. They're making a little bit better for the planet. So exciting stuff there. And looking forward to following them and having them down at our summit once we have that happen. All right, so speaking of events, I wanted to share one more event and we'll get to that interview. This one actually is very in line with our interview. It's actually Arlen Hamilton's first ever. She's bringing her ecosystem together for the first time ever in person. And the event is called the Your First Million. And if you go to yourfirstmillion.live, you can learn more about it. But it's the first time she's bringing the ecosystem together. She's bringing aspiring current entrepreneurs, investors, job seekers, and hiring managers. You know, you all may be interested in this event. If you go over to Your First Million Live in LA, it's going to be April 12th, or sorry, 9th through 12th. And it's an event designed to amplify underestimated voices and talent. So might be right up your alley. During the event, you'll be receiving tools, resources, and connections to empower you to thrive in your work towards your first million. So if you go to www.yourfirstmillion.live, you can learn more about it, register, and check it out. If you get a chance to make it, that would be great. I may see you there. So let's jump into that conversation with Arlen Hamilton from South by Southwest at the Established House. All right, Arlen, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me here.
All right, so I'm Frank.
Hey, Frank. I've known you for years.
I know. It's been a while, though. I mean, last time we connected and did something like this was... It was 2018.
Was that Boston?
Boston.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
It feels like there's a lot that happened.
It feels like a very long time ago.
And you've since written two books?
That's correct.
Invested in how many more companies? Probably like...
Total of 200 plus, and so probably another 120 since I saw you.
Wow, I feel really like an underachiever right now. that's amazing. Also, this new book, which I'm...
Why do I have this?
You got two. Yeah, so we...
Are we
like
filming?
We're filming.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
we're filming. I understand now.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, yes. We like to have lots of audio. So her new book, Your First Million, there's a few around the venue. If you are interested, you can take that one with you if you like.
Let me ask an important question.
Yeah.
Is anybody here... please pay attention. Anybody here allergic to money?
Who likes money?
Okay, if you're not allergic to money, you probably want to pay attention to this. If you are allergic, please leave.
Yes.
We're talking about money here.
So this is a great book. It's why you don't have to be born into a legacy of wealth to leave one behind. And I think I was telling you when you first got here, when I was younger, I read the book Rich Dad Poor Dad, right? And this book actually is like, feels like very much in that guide, but from an entrepreneurial perspective.
Would you believe I have never read that?
Really?
I've heard about it, of course, but I've never read it, and I'm not sure why. Maybe I should. Do you think I should?
It's an older book, but it's been out forever, right? So it's a good like baseline. Yeah.
But I'm curious about that. Since
yeah,
you said
so check
that.
It out. Yeah. So I think wanted to talk a little bit more about this book and talk a little bit more about your backstory, how you got started, because I don't think everyone knows that you. I mean, the way that you tell in the book, you were homeless at one point. You started some companies that didn't work out, and then you were homeless. And then launched like you had this like unbelievable drive and like relentless amount of just ability to like know that you're going to be able to do something with that with yourself, like pull it out and go out and do what you want to do. So I think that's not everyone has that. And I want to understand how you did that. Like that's hard.
Yeah, I think everybody can relate to feeling underestimated at some point in their life, right? Yeah. Feeling like you had some sort of potential that others couldn't see, and you maybe even couldn't put a finger on what it is. Mm-hmm. But there was something just very deep in your core that you understood there's something better and bigger for me. And that's where I found myself in my early 30s, about 11 or 12 years ago. In my 30s, broke, homeless at times, living with my mother out of a hotel room day to day in Austin.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay, well, first we were in Houston, and then we
Texas,
came up to Austin because I wanted to be closer to tech. Mm-hmm. When I decided I wanted to launch a fund. And there was this, I knew that I'm not going to say the word brilliant. I knew that there was something happening with me. I knew that there was something special going on up here, mm-hmm. because I just couldn't see I couldn't relate to most people. Mm. But I also was so broke that we didn't know when we were going to eat next. And I was like, "What? How? What is that? What sense does that make?" And that's when I did discover a place called Silicon Valley and in a mindset of Silicon Valley. And I thought, oh, startup founder, entrepreneur, that's what I've always been. That's why I don't have health insurance. that's why no one can really relate in my friend group to what I'm talking about.
Right.
And anybody else feel that way ever at any point? Yeah, like you felt like, yes. So I felt like that. And once I understood, I was like, oh, well, this is cool. Now I know what I am, where I come from, essentially, like what mm-hmm. planet I'm from.
Right.
And now I can do something about it. And so that's when I set out. I said, I'm going to, you know, I think I often talk about what I do. But to be honest, the product and the customer is universal. The idea of having the right product, the right offer at the right time for the right person, that's universal no matter what we're talking about.
Right.
And that's what I figured out. And parlayed that from being homeless, sleeping on the floor of an airport, sending my mother back home to sleep on a couch at her sister's, to investing in more than 200 companies and doing so in a place that was not built for me. And Mark Cuban and I have a joint venture, a several million dollar joint venture. I've been on the cover of Fast Company. I'm on the currently on the cover of Black Enterprise. I've invested in more than 30 venture funds and those companies, and have seen thousands of companies like you have. And as you probably know, it's not just about those companies that you invest in. It's about the ones who see the work that you're doing. So it's not always about your exact customer or your exact person who you're pouring resource into. It really is about the big picture. And someone, I think she might have left, but she just walked up to me and said that a few years ago when I spoke in Austin, I changed the trajectory of her life.
Wow.
And then she bounced, which is cool. But we all have places to be at South By. Right.
She's doing things.
Yeah.
She was off. She's a rocket.
She's like, I got what I need. I'm out.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, the thing is, in 2015, I slept in a car with my mom to attend South By, not even with the ticket, just to be around South By in the hopes that I might find an investor who would understand what I was working on at the time.
Yeah.
And now I'm speaking 9 times in 3 days at South By.
That's fantastic. And not the first part. The first part sounds horrible. Like, it was tough. And what were you working on? You were working on a different kind of company, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a fund. Yeah. Because I just wanted to level set there, because I see that this audience, I want to make sure, mm-hmm. usually when I say the words, the letters DEI, or I talk about women, people of mm-hmm. color, LGBTQ+, mm-hmm. that's when the eyes glaze over and people mm-hmm. kind of space out. But what I want you to hear me is that it's lucrative, that we have millions of dollars from Cuban and others, and that there's something that is underestimated going on. So I just wanted to level set there. But what I do is have a fund called Backstage Capital. We invest in women, BIPOC, so that's people of color, LGBTQ+ founders. So any of those or all of those, like me, I'm all three. And we invest across industries and sectors, from anything from CPG hair products to a new technology that helps satellites stay in space longer from the owner. And just at South By is one of my favorite places, because I get to see so many of our founders and see what they're working on and how far they've come. And it's just been a brilliant time.
That's fantastic. Yeah, it has been for a while. There's like a lot of companies, and you don't have to chase them around as much. So I can imagine that's helpful for you if you're being pulled to do all these different things. All right, let's switch gears here. One of the things in the book that I loved was that you're talking about being a millionaire. And how many people here want to be a millionaire or are okay?
Make your first million.
Yeah.
Why don't you all in the back want to be a millionaire? That's weird.
They already made
a
million.
They're like, we're already a millionaire.
We're just drinking coffee.
Let me ask you something. Would it hurt to have twice as much money as you have today?
No.
Would that hurt you? No.
It'd
that one
good.
Guy is like, yes, it actually would. I don't know about you, man.
Yeah, I don't know. What is he doing? Let's get the backstory on him.
He's like, there's alcohol.
Yeah. So you're basically, one of the strategies, right, is you know, you talk about it, is like 7 different streams, right? I mean, income streams.
Yeah.
7? Did I count that right?
It doesn't have to be 7 income streams.
I take everything literally. You said 7.
We talk... I'll let you ask your question before I answer.
No. So what does that look like?
So I'm sure, including the book you talked about, talks about 7 income streams.
Right.
It's kind of this thing that we're told is that most millionaires have 7 income streams mm-hmm. or more.
Right.
And it's something that I just learned from going from being homeless to having millions of dollars and earning millions of dollars and generating millions of dollars and raising that. That none of that really could have happened through one stream. Although, I should pull back a little bit. You don't do all 7 at once, and you don't do them to start.
Right.
Most people, if you dissect what they do, they are obsessed about one thing for a very long time, mm-hmm. and they build that, and they build that, and they build that, and then those new opportunities find themselves. But one of the points I was making in the book is that the pandemic showed us more than anything that we cannot be reliant on one income stream, whether that you have a great job or you have a company, even if you've exited your company and have millions. I was around millionaires and billionaires when COVID hit, and I watched people who have exited their companies for $20, $50, $100 million freak out because it still hit them hard. So, and I know that the if you have a lot of stock, if you're in the stock market, you have a lot of that, is you're dependent on that. I've seen some of our LPs, our limited partners who invest in our funds, I've seen them lose half their net worth in a day.
Wow.
It's just, so that's why you can't be complacent. Mm-hmm. When you think of Beyonce, Oprah, LeBron, Steve Jobs, when you think of any of those people, does the word complacent come to mind?
No.
So that's why I think it's important for us, no matter where we are. If you're in this audience right now and you're on your last dime and you're struggling with that yourself, because that always happens. It's always somebody, and more than one person. You're not alone, first of all. Second of all, there's very little separating you from someone in this room who easily has $1 million liquid in their bank account. Mm-hmm. Very little separating you from that. And the person who has easily $1 million or more in their bank account, you are not alone either. Because just because you have the money, it doesn't mean that you have everything that your soul needs.
Right.
And it's so not happiness. There's no bias in either direction, is what
right.
I'm saying.
It's a, and you talk about it, I agree. It's a tool, right? It's a tool to basically...
Money, yeah.
Yeah, money being the tool.
Oh, yeah, money is... If you're struggling with money, raising money, earning money, if you don't have a lot of money, you're worried about it, one thing that you can do today, right now, is start to change your relationship with money so that you do not have a relationship mm-hmm. with money. I used to have... Anybody can relate... let me know if you can relate to this. I used to have a deep-seated hatred for money. I used to be afraid of it. I used to lust after it. All those things.
All at once.
Yeah, it various times, because it was the thing that we didn't have that made my mom cry. It was the thing we didn't have that made me go to school, and I had holes in my shoes, and people made fun of my hair, and all the things. And it was the thing that I thought, if only we had this amount of money that I truly didn't really know what it meant, things would be perfect. So I used to have this extremely, you know how on Facebook it says, it's complicated or whatever, yeah. Your relationship. I used to have a very complicated relationship with money. Mm-hmm. Today, I have no relationship with money.
You broke up.
I didn't even break up.
Oh,
we
okay.
have no relationship.
Okay.
It is a tool. It is an inanimate object. It is something most of the time that's not even physical. Mm. It's numbers on a screen.
It's like a distant cousin.
No.
Oh. I'm just trying to...
No, Frank.
Okay.
I think we should start a podcast called No Frank.
Well, that's her. She'd start
his,
that one.
His wife says yes.
Yes. I actually have one called Somewhat Frank. I think it's similar.
That's very cute. I like that. Yeah. But
we're doing it live later.
Yeah,
so.
Wonderful. Yeah. But the heart of the matter is there are multiple things I've learned from talking to millionaires, studying them, working with them over the past decade that I put into my book, Your First Million, that are so clear and so repeatable mm-hmm. that I believe that almost everyone can become a millionaire if they want to. And I talk about in the book why you might want to if you don't. And so that's why I have the 1,000 millionaires, because I want to help create and catalyze 1,000 new millionaires in the next decade. And I wanted it to be representative of this country.
I love that. That's awesome. Hear it. That's fantastic. It's also on your shirt.
That's what I mentioned.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks, Frank. No, Frank.
All right. Fine. So let's talk about that a little bit more. So how do you, what does that mean? Like, you, how do you want to do that?
Yeah,
like,
if you think about, so when I tell people that, usually there's one of two reactions. One is, wow, 1,000 millionaires? Wow, that's a lot. And then the other reaction is, why only 1,000 millionaires? And the reason it's 1,000 millionaires partially is because for every 1 billionaire, I want to see 1,000 new millionaires. Mm-hmm. Don't have a problem with billionaires just in general.
Right.
No problem, actually.
Yeah.
You're going to do what you're going to do with the capital. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that any one person needs to have $1 billion, including mm-hmm. myself. Mm-hmm. And so the 1,000 millionaires. The other piece of it is, it's something I believe is attainable. Mm-hmm. And I want to track it. I don't want to just say it and let it be some sort of great, cute thing to say. I want to track it. So we will be tracking it as best as we can over the next decade. And it's through the brand of Your First Million. I have multiple podcasts. I have YouTube. If you go to yourfirstmillion.tv, that's my YouTube channel that we're really going all in on this year, working with Ali Abdaal's team. And he has 5 million views, and he's just kind of productivity guy, and really looking at what he's doing and saying, I want to spread my message like that too. We have the book and others that will come out. I have an online masterclass. And then we have Your First Million Live, the in-person event that we're doing, that's just going to be fantastic, where we will convene. And each year we will celebrate the newest millionaires who became millionaires on our watch.
Wow. So, and a lot of this, like, correct me if I'm wrong, or you probably will.
I will.
That goes without saying. So tell me a little bit more, a little bit more about your, basically, how do people get involved? Is it free? Is it, like, what does that look like?
Is what free?
The club, to join, to be a million. Like, can it's, I just be a millionaire? Like, I want to be a millionaire. Isn't that a show? I think there was a TV show, right?
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
I do. That's a show, yeah.
I have given out hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of podcast content and videos. You can go to Arlen Was Here on Instagram. You can go to my LinkedIn. Yeah. There will never be a day when you can't get something free from me. Information. Information shouldn't be
That's what I want to get to. Your strategy around it. Yep.
There is also a component of it of we have, you can, in fact, you can get my masterclass for free by going to my LinkedIn and just clicking on the link in the bio.
The reason I say it is because some of these folks may not have the money to pay for it right away.
Oh, I understand. I talk to a lot of, I wrote my book for me 10 years ago. And me.
You have a time machine?
I'm putting it in the vault and it's going back to her.
Yeah.
She was cute, but I'm cuter. I wrote that when I was on the cover of Fast Company. I'll say it twice.
Oh, so you were on the cover.
Did you know that?
You probably did.
And it cost $7.99. I remember because Fast Company
magazines are getting expensive.
It was my favorite magazine, so I knew how much it cost, but I could rarely afford it. And so 3 years prior to being on the cover of Fast Company, I could not afford a copy of Fast Company.
Right.
So everything like it's in my book, it's kind of everywhere. I've been called a key maker, not a gatekeeper. So yes, 98% of what I do is free.
Yes.
But listen to me and listen to me good.
There's 2% left.
I am not cheap. I am valuable. We are valuable. So we are for damn sure charging for some of what we do.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think you also give away a lot too. So I think that's it. You give first. So let's talk about that a little bit. You know, when you get to that point where you have millions of dollars, or maybe not, maybe you're just at a point where you feel really comfortable.
No, I have generated millions. I have raised millions. I generate millions every year.
Right.
But I poured all back into what I do. So I'm not walking out around here.
Well, I think the strategy, not the strategy, just your the way you approach it, like, if you're in a certain position, you know, you want to talk about how you approach
it. Well, if you think about it, does anybody know who Mr. Beast is?
Who?
So you know how he essentially makes a bunch of money off of the last video. He pours a million plus into the new video.
He's on YouTube, right?
He's a YouTuber. Yeah, but some people don't know him, right?
Yeah, right.
And he pours million plus into every video. He makes the money off of it. He goes broke and then he does it again. Yeah. There's this guy named, it's going to hurt me to say his name, but I'm going to have to, Elon Musk.
I've heard of him, actually. I think I may have saw his car outside. It was a Cybertruck.
I have to. I mean, this is what he does, if anybody needs that as a reference. And he, you know, he goes for broke, essentially. He goes for broke because he knows that the bigger play is the outcome, is the ROI. And that's what I'm doing. Okay. And I think it's funny to me that a lot of people don't quite understand that. Like, they will hold certain people up on a pedestal if they look a certain way or if they come from something, and then really try to kick that pedestal out from underneath you if you don't. But if you think about it that way, I'm 43 right now. I believe that by the time I am 50, I will have generated and cultivated $1 billion worth of value. And knowing that, I feel very good about the fact that, you know, I'm close to the bone when it comes to being liquid.
That's fantastic. All right, so do you get scared about that? Like, the fact that maybe you won't have enough for yourself?
What I know is that I'll never go back to what I was, where I was. That'll never happen. And one reason it'll never happen is because there are literally thousands of people who would just let me sleep on their couch.
A lot more couch surfing.
And the second thing is, I'm a really fast typer. So if I gotta go do some data entry, if I have to go, I was an incredible usher for movie theaters and concerts. If I have to, I know I can start over. It's like that show they do when they drop the billionaire in the middle of a town and they have to start over. I could do that.
It's like Millionaire Survivor.
Yeah, it's why I feel confident in writing a book called Your First Million, because I feel like I feel like I'm always starting from scratch every single day.
Right.
And I don't have a relationship with money, therefore I don't fear it or the loss of it.
Not even like a third cousin?
No.
No, okay.
No.
Got it.
Why do you need me to have this in my family?
I don't know, because he's got a shirt that says I'm 100 million, 1,000 million.
It's a tool. It's a thing. Okay. It's an object.
Okay.
But it's an important and valuable and helpful tool.
Yeah.
That we can use for nothing else to make other people's lives better. And so it's the chips that are on the table of the game that's being played. So we deserve as much of it as anybody else.
Okay. We're cutting closer on time here, so we're going to kind of start rapping, but not physically, but like,
I would like to see you rap.
Nowadays, everybody wants to talk. I got something to say. Nothing comes out when they move their lips. Bunch of gibberish. I didn't say the swear part because it's my daughter's in the front row. So,
hi, how you doing? Yeah, she's good.
She just knows none of these words.
Yeah.
Anyway, my question is, really around entrepreneurs and where do you want to see, like, you work with a lot of underrepresented entrepreneurs that you're continuing to invest in their funds and all that. Can you talk a little bit more about what do you see in them, like, where do you want them to go? Like, what's your biggest vision for everything you're doing?
The same thing I want for everybody in this room. Every founder in this room, every investor in this room, every career professional in this room, I want you to have the best quality life humanly possible, and I want you to do what you are built to do and what you were born to do. Mm-hmm. And it is true right now, unfortunately, that Black founders, for instance, and women, for instance, we get a lot less funding resources. But believe me, we are not sitting around waiting for anybody to come save us. Mm-hmm. And so I have spoken for 10 years about the state of venture capital when it comes to underrepresented.
And it's gone down.
It's gotten worse.
Yeah.
So F them. Like, who needs them?
Who cares? Them? Yeah.
Right?
Keep going.
Who needs them? Like, the most successful founders that I have been working with in the last 2 years are ones who got so tired of this freaking game.
They built their own sandcastle.
That they built their own thing and they went out and their customer was their investor.
That's exactly right. Who cares? Just do your thing. That's
it's
your message.
It's true. I mean, we deserve the world. We deserve to have a seat at the table. We deserve our piece of the pie. We deserve it all. So that's why I'll keep fighting for it. Mm-hmm. But we don't need it in order to be successful.
Right.
We do not need it to be successful.
No, 100% agree. And I think, but that belief and your strong, like, passion for it, how can you translate and get that into everyone? Because not everyone believes it.
Oh, every single time I'm going to just do this for the rest of my life. Because every single time I speak, every single time I release a book or put something online, or that's why I'm like really going all in on YouTube, you do reach people.
Yeah.
And the people that you don't reach, you know, is kind of like the guy we just saw down the street who was trying to get into the Pride House, and he was very, you know, obnoxious, and he wanted to go to the bar, and this lovely bouncer told him he could kick rocks, and that's been kind of, you know, edited for that is really that. It's like, if you don't care about it, if it's not interesting to you, if you don't like joy and mirth, and if you don't have any kind of good taste, like, fine. But you just realize every single time you watch a football game, every single time you listen to music, every single time you do anything that's worth it, every single time you get married, or every single time y'all get married.
The time you get married, right?
Straight people have a way. Yeah. Get married. Just remember, who designed the dress? Mm-hmm. Who wrote the song? Who's playing in the Super Bowl? Mm-hmm. Who's creating the joy for you? So if you don't enjoy us, they say they want our rhythm, but they don't want our blues. Mm-hmm. Right?
I like both.
I know you do, Frank. Okay, that's why I'm here.
Okay. All right.
But it's true. If you don't, I am not going to beg you all to have taste and to make more money. Mm-hmm. I'm done with that. I'm over here enjoying life with my peeps.
Yeah, Arlen, thank you so much for being
here.
I appreciate it. Let's hear it for Arlen Hamilton.
And I appreciate y'all.
New book, go get it. We've got some around the venue. Appreciate it. And you got a jet, so thank
you. See me on Arlen was here on Instagram. I'd love to talk to you.
Thank you, Arlen. Appreciate it.
And as always, if you have a startup idea and you want to get it going, today is the best day to start up. Not tomorrow, not the next day. Get it going, get it started, and we encourage you to join our community for access to support, expert advice, and everything you need to get it going. Go over to soty.link/apply to join our community, or simply go to startupofyear.com and learn more. All right, until next time, I'm Frank Gruber. Don't forget to hug your loved ones. Hopefully you're out there making waves in the world. Good luck starting up and have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Startup of the Year podcast. Be sure to subscribe and we'll be back with another episode soon.